Amen. Praise God. We are here today to celebrate the fact that hope is here. I want to welcome you to this Sunday that in a lot of ways is like any other, in that we come together to worship God and to glorify Him for how good He is. But today in particular, we have designated to be intentional about inviting others. And so if this is your first time here with Houston First, I just want you to know you are so welcome here. We are so glad that you've chosen to be here and to worship with us today and to hear God's word together. And just know that we have been praying for you, and we are so thankful that you overcame every obstacle that could have kept you from here. We know the reality is that there is a lot of reason to be weary today, right? Like, that's not the good news we're going to get into, but that is the reality of a lot of our lives. There's a lot of struggles, and even for a lot of people, there's a lot of history, even with the church, that is not what we would like for it to be. But I am so thankful that you made a point to respond to an invitation, that you would be here, that you push through all those no's in order to say yes, to hear something from God today. I want you to know, I truly believe that God has a word for each and every one of us today, even for me. And so as we dive into God's word today, I just want you to have an openness about what God might be saying to you, how He might be challenging you. And I want you to know that if you'll promise to do that for me, I'll promise to do that for you too. Like we'll all have an openness to what it is that God is trying to speak into our lives, that we might be able to just say yes to Him. I'm so grateful that each and every one of you are here, that we can hear from the voice of the Lord today, but also celebrate all that He is doing. If you have your Bibles with you, here in just a little bit, we're going to be in 1 Samuel chapter 17. If you don't have a Bible with you, all the words are going to be up on the screen there, so you can follow along there as well. Feel free, if you've got the Bible app on your phone and you want to get it out there, feel free to do that. Just make sure that the only reason you're on Facebook is because you're sharing this live video with your friends, right? Amen. Praise God. In just a minute, we're going to get into 1 Samuel 17, and this is the story of David and Goliath. And really excited about this, because if there is a story which, whether you are inside the church or whether you're part of the church or not, most people are aware of this idea of the underdog, right? Of David, who was so outmatched by Goliath, and how is it that he's gonna accomplish this victory? And so what I want to do today is get into this story in such a way that we can learn how it is that God was giving David hope even when he was confronted with this huge Goliath, this warrior that was seemed to be so much greater than he ever could be. So today, what we're going to do, actually, is most of you may be familiar with the story of David and Goliath, right? So he, like, you know, gets the rock, he puts in the sling, he hits David in the head, and he falls over and he dies, and David wins, right? If you didn't know the story, now you do. What's great is we're actually not going to do that part of the story at all, because I think that God actually gives David the hope that he needs even before he gets to Goliath. So what we're going to talk about today is when we see some of those obstacles in front of us, when we see those hard times coming, like, what is it that God is already saying to us so that we can be ready when we get there, so that we can have hope even when we seem to be overwhelmed by some of the circumstances that we're around. Before we dive into Scripture, though, if you would just pause with me for a moment of prayer. God, we thank you so much for your presence. We recognize, Lord, that you are here. And that's how we know that hope is here, because you are here. Lord, I thank you that you have allowed each and every one of us, in the midst of all of our stuff, to be here with you. And I'm thankful, Lord, that your presence is not limited by our lives and what's going on in our lives, but that, God, you desire great things in us even now. Lord, I ask that the words of my mouth would be yours today, God, that your message alone would be proclaimed in this place, Father, and that you would give us all the courage to say yes to you, Father, however it is you want to challenge us, however it is you want to convict us, however it is that you want to motivate us, however it is you want to empower us, God, whatever you want to do, Lord, help us to say yes to you today. that you might receive all the glory for everything that is done. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, well, let's jump right into this here, and we're going to start early on in 1 Samuel chapter 17. I want to read for you verses 3 through 7 as we get going here. So in verse 3, we pick up the story, and it says, the Philistines, of which Goliath was a part of the Philistines and everything there, the Philistines occupied one hill, and the Israelites another, with a valley between them, okay? And just so you have this picture here, this is important because of what is about to come next here. Verse 4, a champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out of the Philistine camp. His height was 6 cubits and a span. In case you don't measure things in cubits, by the way, his total height was estimated to be about 9 feet 9 inches tall. This was not a short guy. He had a bronze helmet on his head, and he wore a coat of scale armor of bronze weighing 5,000 shekels, which, by the way, in case you also don't measure in shekels, that's about 125 pounds, which is that's kind of a lot. Verse 6, on his legs he wore bronze greaves, and a bronze javelin was slung on his back. His spear shaft was like a weaver's rod, and its iron point weighed 600 shekels, which is about 15 pounds. That's just the tip of it, by the way. And his shield bearer went ahead of him. Now, this is what's kind of interesting to me here, is that he didn't even carry his own shield because he had so much other stuff going on here. Now, I want to just pause there for just a moment because there's something curious that I notice here in these verses, because once we get into verse 8, then we're starting into some dialogue back and forth between Goliath and the Israelites and this kind of stuff. But in these early verses here, what we notice is that the author spends all of this time just describing Goliath, right? Which is kind of, it's just curious to me, right? All the focus is on who the enemy is. How well equipped the enemy is, how tall the enemy is, how much the armor weighs that the enemy has, how it appears that the enemy is completely impenetrable. It appears as if this guy who is just enormous and is so well equipped, he even has somebody else carrying a shield for him, providing protection from him for him beyond even just the armor that he's carrying himself. And I guess it makes sense. Like, you're not gonna run across a guy like Goliath out in battle very often, right? Like, this guy's pretty special. Like, this would be one of the people that you write home about. Like, mom and dad, you're not even gonna believe what I saw on the battlefield today, right? He was massive, and even just everything that he wore put fear into the hearts of this Israelite army. You know what? The reality is that sometimes in our lives, we encounter some pretty massive stuff as well, right? We may go to the doctor and get a report from our doctor saying, telling us things about our body that we feel like, wow, that is so much bigger than what I am, right? Or we may have a boss who just continues to pile more and more work on us, and we know we got stuff to do at home, and we know we need to take care of ourselves, and we know we need to grow in the Lord, and we know we need to be part of the church, and we want to be doing all these other things, but stuff is so busy at work. Like, how in the world am I going to get out from under this huge pressure, right? Or sometimes it's even just a matter of the awareness of who we are and what we've done and choices that we've made in our lives. And we think back to who we have been and where we've gone and decisions we've made, and we think to ourselves, like, wow, like there's no way I can get out from under who I've been. Maybe it's even to a point where, like, because of the decisions that have been made in your life, you're at a point right now, it's like, you know what, I'd really like to change, but I don't even know how I change. If I change, like, none of my friends right now would ever want to be friends with me if I was different. Like none of the people that I'm with, my family wouldn't even want to be with me. Like, like I, everything in my life would have to change. That's too big. That's too much. I can't do it. Like, there's all kinds of pressures from in regard to our marriages and our children and just our own personal health and like what's going on in our minds and all this kind of stuff. And we can look at what's going on in our lives and feel so overwhelmed sometimes. This is where the Israelite army was, by the way. We're going to read about this here in just a moment. But every one of the soldiers that were in this army were hiding, including the king, by the way, were hiding because they were terrified. They were overwhelmed. They had no idea what to do next. They were hopeless, absolutely hopeless. Let's keep reading here in verse 8. It says, Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and are you not the servants of Saul? Choose a man and have him come down to me, and if he is able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, then you will become our subjects and serve us." Then the Philistine said, "This day I defy the armies of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other." On hearing the Philistine's words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. Okay, so here's, as if just the presence of Goliath isn't enough, he sort of puts out this situation here where, like, if they have just one person who would fight him, they'll just go mano a mano, right? And whoever comes out, like, That's who wins, and the entire, and everything is on that one person, right? Now, what's interesting here is no one that was in the Israelite army felt like they could do it alone. Nobody. The King Saul didn't go out there, you know, like, he wasn't, and again, you got to remember, like, when King Saul was made king, part of the reason he was made king is because he stood head and shoulders above everybody else, and so it's not like Saul is a short guy, right? We know from later on in the story that he has armor and stuff, so he knows how to battle. He might not be 9.5 feet tall or whatever like that, but dude knows how to scrap, right? Like, he can hold his own out there, but he is even too terrified to go out there because, well, what if it doesn't work? What if I put myself out there and then other people are hurt because of the choices I make? What if I go and I fail and then other people have to deal with the consequences of my choices, and that's a pressure that I don't know that I can handle either, right? And again, how much do we feel like that just in a given day, right? We have people that are depending on us. Sometimes it feels like if we don't do it, like we're gonna let everybody down, right? If we don't help our family in a certain way, if we don't help our friends, in whatever they need help with in that kind of stuff, if we're not the one who's there, then we're gonna let everybody down, and the pressure is all on us. Maybe you feel that pressure even now. Maybe the health issue that you're dealing with is not yours necessarily, but it belongs to a family member or a loved one, someone close to you that you're having to watch over and take care of, and you know the pressure of, well, if you're not there, who's going to do it, right? You know the pressure. Maybe it's a matter of you've got kids that are depending on you, and if you're not there to help take care of everything, then who's going to do it? And maybe you look at your bank account and you're like, oh my goodness, like if I don't work more hours, like the bills are not going to get paid, and my family is not going to be taken care of, and so if I don't do it, then how's it going to happen? And we feel like all this pressure is just on us, right? And if I don't do it, then I'm gonna let everybody down. I think in a lot of ways it's easy for us to connect with the feelings of the Israelite army, and why it is that they stayed hidden, why it is that they didn't jump up and go take on Goliath, because their confidence was absolutely shot, right? Now, I want to take a little bit of a side note here, a little tangent, if you'll let me, that is kind of in line with the sermon, but sort of not. Because I do think it's important for us to recognize here that the way that Goliath was talking to the Israelite army can sometimes, for some of us, that sort of feels like maybe how the church has spoken to us in the past. That sometimes it feels like there was just some angry guy up there who was yelling at you, telling you that you're either gonna get it right or you're gonna get out, right? You're gonna do it this way or you're just out of this thing and you feel all this pressure that like I don't know if I can really get it right, but if nothing else, maybe I just need to pretend, right? And I just want to acknowledge here, just right off the bat here, that if that's part of your story, that it feels like to you like the church has not always been on your side, but sometimes the church has felt like your enemy. I just want to apologize, right? And I want to let you know that this ain't that church. This is not that church. We really do want to come alongside you in your journey with the Lord. And I don't know where you are in that. I don't know if you are a follower of Jesus. I don't know if you're just kind of curious about the things of God. Maybe you ordinarily worship in another religion. I don't know where you are right now, but I do know that God has allowed you to be here today, and I think part of the reason for that is so that you can begin to build relationships with people who can walk alongside you as you walk toward Jesus. And this place, like these people, let me say it that way, the people that you're around right now, man, they feel so much like family that it's just crazy. It was funny actually. Just this last Wednesday, so we have a Bible study and kids ministry, youth ministry, everything that happens on Wednesday nights, and so we had finished that. And it was sort of the after party that was out here in the lobby, and we're all talking and cutting up and everything. And one of our kids walks up to Pastor Sarah, our children's pastor, and says to her, why does this feel like a family reunion? Like, that's just the culture that is felt around here. And so I want you to know, I get that for a lot of people, feeling it. It's easier to relate to the Israelites being yelled at by Goliath and having that be sort of what the church used to feel like to you. And what I want you to know is that we're on the same team here. And I'd really love for each and every one of you to be a part of not just this team, but this family. Because I believe that God really has some great stuff for us as we come together. I really believe we can help each other find this hope that we so desperately need. Because the reality is that we do desperately need this hope. All right, so let me keep going here. Let's skip down to verse 28. Let's skip down to verse 28. So Goliath puts all of his stuff out there to the Israelite army. Well, in the meantime, if you want to read through chapter 17 on your own, David's dad tells him to take some food out to his brothers. He got a whole mess of brothers that are out there. That's a whole nother thing. And so he takes it out there, and David starts this conversation with people like, hey, what's going on? Why are y'all hiding back here? All this kind of stuff. We pick it up in verse 28. And it says, when Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking with the men, the other soldiers that were there, he burned with anger at him and asked, why have you come down here? And with whom did you leave those few sheep in the wilderness? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down only to watch the battle. Okay, it's getting serious here now, right? The one thing that I want us to understand and pull away from here is that David's hope was obviously not found in his brother. Amen? I don't know if he was necessarily looking for that encouragement from his brother, but he sure didn't find it. And apparently, David's brother didn't find any hope in David either, for that matter. But the point in all of that is that our hope is not in people, even just like I was talking about just a moment ago, right? Our hope is not in people. Our hope is not in each other. As much as we are a really tight-knit family as the Houston First Church of God, our hope is not in each other. See, if David's hope was in his brother, he would have gone back home and the Israelites would have been defeated and they'd still be serving the Philistines, right? But what he did instead was recognize that even though his brother was out of his mind and talking crazy and everything, David didn't put his hope in his brother, but rather he put his hope in his God. People, even those who are part of the church, are going to have bad days. Amen. It's all right. Go on and say it. I'm going to have bad days too. I'm going to tell you right now. There's going to be times where you'll expect me to do something, and I won't have done it because I either forgot or it wasn't as much of a priority for me as it is for you or whatever. There's going to be times when I let you down as well. Everybody, people are going to let each other down. We're all going to have bad days. All of us have. You know what? You have bad days too, right? It's all right. It's all right. It doesn't mean that you're bad people, right? It doesn't mean that that the devil's taking over your life or anything like that. It just means sometimes we have bad days. And when we have bad days, sometimes we let other people down. But our hope is not in each other. Our hope is only in Christ. See, when Jesus came to this earth, he lived a perfect life. And he died a perfect death, and he rose from the dead, and he's the only one who could do that. He's the only one who could, through his life, death, and resurrection, he's the only one who could provide for us the forgiveness that we need in our lives. He's the only one who, because he rose from the dead and is now at the right hand of the Father, he's the only one who can intercede for us. In other words, like he's there with us, even now, like he is beside us and within us and here, and he's ministering to us, and he's the only one who can provide that hope for us. He's the only one that, because he overcame death itself, he's the only one who can bring us through our difficult times. I just want you to know, like we will fail each other, but Jesus Christ is faithful. Jesus Christ is the only one who can save us from our sins. He's the only one who can move us from our old self to our new self. He's the only one who can heal us from the choices that have been made by us and by the things that have been done to us. Jesus is the only one who can make us brand new. Hope is here not just because you are in a worship service, but because you are interacting with Christ even now. Hope is here not because your life is going to get easier, but because Jesus is a part of it. Hope is here not because your attendance here means that everything is going to be peachy in your life now and all your problems are going to go away. In fact, it might even just be the opposite. That doesn't sound like good news, does it? I'm sorry. But the reality is that no matter how hard your life gets, when Jesus is with you and when you are with Jesus, then you have hope. You have a way out. And just like David's hope didn't come from his brother, your hope isn't going to come from me. And your hope isn't going to come from the people sitting around you. Your hope isn't going to come from that next inspirational YouTube video that you're watching. Your hope isn't going to come from just sort of encouraging yourself even necessarily. Hope only comes from Jesus. It comes through God's word. It comes as we are submitting ourselves to him. It comes as we truly trust him. Hope is only found in Christ. But the good news is that Christ is here. Christ is with us. Christ is among us even now. And so if you're feeling like the Israelites did, where they felt outmatched and they felt afraid and they felt overwhelmed and they felt weary, like the good news is that Christ is here to provide hope for us, that no matter what obstacles we might have, like he is able to bring us through. Let me finish this up here. I want to skip down to verse 38. So eventually word gets around that David is really upset about this whole Goliath guy, right? And so he basically says, let me at him. Let me at him. King Saul is like, okay, I hear this David guy out here. Why don't you bring him to me? He wants to go fight Goliath. Bring him to me. Let's talk. And then he decides, like, okay, we don't want to just send this kid out there, like, to his death. Let's put some armor on him, at least, so that he has a fighting chance, right, in all of this. So verse 38 is where we pick up. It says, then Saul dressed David in his own tunic and put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. And David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to them. I cannot go in these, he said to Saul, because I'm not used to them. So he took them off. And verse 40 says, then he took his staff in his hand, and he chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, and he put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand, he approached the Philistines. The temptation is that if I want hope in my life, then I have to look the part, right? The temptation is that, well, if I want Jesus to provide hope for me, then I need to look like the church people who have hope, right? I need to talk like they talk, and I need to dress like they dress, and I need to say the words they say, you know, and all this kind of stuff. And so if I can just look like they look, well, then maybe that'll provide for me the hope that I need. Maybe that'll provide for me the success that I need when I'm going against this huge obstacle that is in front of me. And I just want to make real clear today that hope doesn't come just by looking the part, right? Hope doesn't come by pretending. And again, I feel like I need to step over to the side here just long enough to say, I realize that for maybe other churches that you've been a part of in the past, maybe you've been encouraged to pretend. Like, hey, if you can't line up with what the Bible says, then if you could just pretend to do that and then do whatever you want to do, like in real life, but while you're here, just pretend to be right. And what I want you to recognize is that I think that we see even through Scripture, particularly in the New Testament, as Jesus is interacting with people, that he is particularly drawn to people who are real and authentic, right? People who aren't trying to hide, people who are just acknowledging the fact that, you know what, I've made some mistakes, and I've done some things, I've made some choices that I probably shouldn't have. And then they have that opportunity when they're confronted with Jesus to do something about it. See, hope comes when we are authentic and real with God. When we stop pretending, we stop hiding, we take off the masks that we think other people think we should wear, and we just tell them who we are, tell them where we are. But hope doesn't just come when we're real and when we're authentic, when we're transparent with God. But you'll notice here with David, it says that when he took his staff and those stones, he puts the stones in his bag, he grabs up his sling, and then he walks out toward Goliath. See, it's one thing to say, okay, like I'm putting my faith in God. It's another thing to start taking steps in that direction, right? That is when we really get to experience the hope that God has for us. Is that we're real, we're authentic about who we are and what we can do and what we're comfortable in and what maybe we even need to change, what our giftings are, all those kinds of things. But then in all of that, we begin to trust God by taking steps toward where he's sending us to go, right? It's in that trust that we begin to experience the hope of God in ways that we never have before. And it's until we put that trust into our feet, into our steps, until we start taking those steps, we're really not going to know the hope of God, because we're still going to be stuck in our fear. So, what are some of those steps that you can take? What are some of those things that you can do, and how can you move forward in that way? Well, Let me give you a few ideas here before we go. First of all, so we have these cards that are around you here that are called Connect cards. Now, if you look on the back of the seat in front of you, you're probably going to see one of these cards on that seat back. If you would, I'd love for everybody to get one of these in your hand right now. Everybody, whether this is your first time here or you've been here 100 million times, it's all right. Don't count up the weeks because that'll tell you how old you are. Everybody get a card in your hand here. Everybody get a card in your hand here. So one of the things that you can do as a way of taking a step of faith in trusting God is you can actually take a step of connecting more with God's church, right? One of the things that so many people deal with, and I'm speaking even for myself here now, is just loneliness. We feel like, just like the Israelites did when Goliath started hollering at them, we feel like we're alone in this. We feel like we're the only one who can do anything about anything, and if we don't do it, then you know, all the pressure's on us, and we're all alone. I want you to know you are not alone. And maybe that's just the good news you need to hear today. Maybe that's the hope that you need to take home with you today, is that you are not alone. And so what I'm giving you is an opportunity to realize that you are not alone. And it's a scary opportunity. I'm going to tell you that right now. It may seem as scary as walking out to meet Goliath being 6 feet shorter than he is, right? And what I want to do is I want to encourage you to just, where it says connect at the top and then it has a place to kind of put some information and everything, I would love for you to fill that out and then hand that in. You'll see some offering boxes on the way out, and you can even just drop those in there. But let me tell you what this is here, because this isn't just like me getting information from you, right? And again, I realize that, like, trust me, no one is more skeptical of other people than I am. You can ask my wife. And it's not something I'm proud of, but I am. Because it's always like, whoa, what do you want that for, right? Like, what are you getting out of this, right? What I get out of this is an opportunity to get to know you more. What I get out of this is an opportunity to find ways to help you connect with the church. What I get out of this is an opportunity to help you connect with the family that you really desperately need. And maybe you don't even know that you need it yet, right? But what I'm getting out of this is you. And so what I would love more than anything today is, again, whether it's your first time here or you've been here for 100 years now, is I would love for you just to fill out your information on there, so that we can follow up with you and just help connect with you. We want you to know you are not alone. And while it's great that you're here in a worship service right now, we know that tomorrow life is going to happen. Let's be honest, 5 minutes outside, after you walk out of this door, life is going to happen. And it's going to get real. And Goliath is standing out there, and you're going to need to figure out, what in the world am I going to do? And just like the Israelites, most of us are just going to run and hide. But the reality is we don't have to run and hide. We can know that there's hope in God, and we can be reminded of that hope as we connect with God's family, as we connect with one another. And so as I ask you to fill out that information there, the reason is because I want you to have hope, and I want to be able to help connect you with people that can remind you of that hope. Now, the second thing that you can do is actually on the other side of that Connect card. And that is, there's a whole list of things that are back here that I just want to kind of walk you through to show you and to ask you, like how is it that God is working in your life? Like, for example, that very top one there says, under start, it says, I dedicated my life to Christ for the first time. As you're here, maybe you were invited by somebody to come and be a part of this worship service today, and you have never experienced a relationship with Jesus before. You're not even really sure what all this God stuff is about, but you know that you came here feeling hopeless, and now you realize, like, hey, maybe there's a way that I can have hope, and maybe the way to that is through relationship with Christ. And if today is the day that you realize, you know what, I want to start following Jesus. I don't know that I have all the questions answered, and I don't know that I have know exactly what all this is going to look like, but I really believe he is the way to figuring out hope and purpose in my life. Like, I'd love for you just to be able to check that box and say, yeah, today I'm dedicating my life to Jesus. And what's going to happen there is I'm going to be able to follow up with you once again just to let you know that you're not alone. You're not alone in your salvation. You're not alone in this in this new relationship with God. You're not alone in the change that's going to come with this. You're not alone in figuring out, like, what in the world is this going to look like now? And you are not alone in the questions that you have. You're not alone in the doubt that you feel. You're not alone in any of that. What I want is to be able to just come alongside you and say, like, God is doing it. Like, we have a lot to celebrate. Maybe today is the day that you've rededicated your life to Him, and you're like, you know what? Like, I was walking with the Lord for a while and been baptized, all that kind of stuff, but I just kind of got away from Him, and today's the day where I realize, you know what? I got to get back to Him. Like, I'm tired of living hopeless. I know that my God has hope, and I need to get back to Him through relationship with Jesus. Right. As you go down even to next steps, maybe you're interested in getting baptized. We have small groups, which we call community groups, which are just amazing, like small family units where we study the Bible together and we build relationships with each other. Maybe you'd like to be a part of a group that is close to you, that works for your schedule. We can help you get connected with those individuals. It's really hard to meet everybody on a Sunday morning, but it's really easy to get to know people that are in a community group, and that's a great way, next step for you if you're seeking how it is that you can walk in the hope that God has for you. Maybe you just like to talk to me or one of the other pastors on staff here. I want you to know I'm open to that. I want to talk to you. I want to get to know you. I want to follow up with you, and I want you to be able to get to know us as a church as well. Maybe you just like to serve, and trust me, there are plenty of places where we can help you get connected and serving others, and so we would love for you to get connected in that way. Again, just check the box there, turn in the card in one of the offering boxes, either in the back or over here at the side, and we can follow up with you and begin building that relationship that is so important to maintaining the hope that God has for us. Last thing. You should have a card that probably came in your bulletin that says "Hope is here." And if you flip that over, there's three different things that are listed on there. From Wednesday night, the opportunity to follow up with me Wednesday at noon, this coming Wednesday at noon. There's also the Set Apart Conference, and then the church picnic that we're going to be doing 2 weeks from now on Sunday, October the 3rd. This is not only a reminder for you, but it's also an invitation for others. If you believe that God is speaking into your life, if you believe that God is doing something powerful inside of you, like, don't you think it'd be really awesome to invite other people to be a part of that too? Even if this is your first time here, this is one of those steps of faith, those steps of trust that you can take that, you know what, I don't really know what this is going to look like, but I'm going to take that next step, and I'm going to invite somebody else to come and experience the hope that they can have in God through relationship with Jesus Christ as well. I want to invite the worship team to come on up. And as they come, I just want to encourage you to be thinking about what is that next step that you can take. If it's a matter of surrendering your life to Jesus, it's as simple as just praying a prayer of Lord, I accept the fact that I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross in order that I can be saved. And I confess, Father, that Jesus is my Savior, that you are my God, and I am going to walk with you. If that's the prayer you'd like to pray today, you can do that. Even as we are singing now, there are places where you can come and kneel and pray. If you'd like to come and pray with somebody else, feel free to do that here at your seat. However it is, like, we want you to say yes to the Lord today. So as we sing these songs here, I want to invite you to just say yes to Him. How is He challenging you? What is that step of faith that you are going to take? Let's take that step together. If you would, stand with me. We're going to pray, and then we're going to sing. Lord God, we thank you for your presence here. We thank you, God, that you are at work. Help us, Lord, to say yes to you. Empower us now, God. Motivate us through the power of your Holy Spirit to say yes to you, God, that whatever that next step is, Lord, you would help us to take it, that nothing would hold us back. We thank you, Lord, for hope. And we ask, God, that you would help us to walk in it even now. In Jesus' name, amen.